You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio. My name is Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX. The following articles are from the March 2024 The Spectrum Monitor, and we'll begin by finishing The Shortwave Listener by Fred Waterer. Real oldies on shortwave, plus BBC shows. Whether it's music from the 1920s or the 2020s, I am always hearing and learning new things. And once in a while, Brad slides a song in that will just blow your mind. For instance, I'm Henry VIII by Herman's Hermits was a music hall hit in England in the 1910s. You just never know what you will hear, but it's a fascinating journey through the evolution of music in the last 100-plus years. As Brad said in one episode, the program is a love letter to record collecting, radio, and music history. He knows a bit about collecting, with a treasure trove of thousands of records and CDs at his disposal. Tune in via both WBCQ and WRMI. On WBCQ, listen at 0100 UTC Thursdays and Sundays on 7,490 kHz. On WRMI, at 10 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays, 0300 UTC Friday on 9,395 kHz. And at 11 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, 0400 UTC Sunday. The entire run of the show is archived at Brad's website, cruisinthedecades.com, for your listening pleasure. Cruisin' the Decades is spelled CRUISINTHEDECADES. Bonus listening. The WBCQ internet stream runs 24 hours per day. After shortwave closes down at 0500 UTC, midnight Eastern, and until 1700 UTC, noon Eastern, the next day, WBCQ runs episodes of many of the radio programs mentioned here, Marion, Behavior Night, and Cruisin' the Decades, as well as others like Tom Call Theater, Rockwave, and others. It's great listening, but all the programs seem to be on a shuffle, so you never know what you might hear and when. In a future column, we'll explore some of the more modern programs leading to your degree in musicology. Some sad news this month from Bill Tilford. The last broadcast of From the Isle of Music on WBCQ will be Sunday, March 3rd at 2300 UTC on 7,490 kHz, and the last broadcast of Uncle Bill's Melting Pot on WBCQ will be Sunday, March 17th at 2200 UTC due to daylight savings time, also on 7,490. Since both these programs began on WBCQ, I do not make this decision lightly. Alan and Angela Weiner have been very supportive and generous throughout my time there, as has the Shortwave Press for North America. But with the exception of an apparently quite small but passionate band of North American followers, the audience in Europe during my time on the air there was consistently much larger and more openly supportive. This was always a labor of love rather than something intended for profit, but there is only so much blood one can give. Since I lack the financial support needed to broadcast from both continents, Europe is the inevitable choice with the limited resources available. As these words are being written, I do not yet have the specific time, day, frequency, but hope to begin broadcasts from Channel 292 in Germany in April. I do look forward to reconnecting with European listeners. As to details, both shows will be a potpourri of favorite things played over the years. A few days before this column went to press, the wonderful actor Ian Lavender passed away He was the last surviving member of the cast of Dad's Army, a very funny TV series, and the less well-known, in North America anyway, radio version. These radio versions were mostly recreations of the TV scripts. At one point, some of the recordings of Dad's Army were wiped by the BBC. As part of the BBC treasure hunt a few years ago, the missing radio episodes were recovered thanks to recordings made by listeners at the time they aired. Dad's Army is just one of dozens of programs available on Radio 4 Extra. I would encourage you to poke around the Radio 4 Extra schedule and websites. There is such a wealth of very funny and interesting programs that we all heard on the World Service in the past. Book of the Week, The Goon Show, Hancock's Half Hour, and one of my all-time favorites, Just a Minute, can all be heard through BBC Radio 4 Extra. BBC Program Highlights. Times UTC. All BBC programs can be heard archived online once they air. Bong. The Condensed History of Big Ben. It's 100 years since Big Ben's daily time signal was heard for the first time on BBC Radio. Big Ben's bongs have become synonymous with the BBC and broadcast on Armistice Day, Christmas Day, and New Year's Eve. They also rang when World War II started. Big Ben has been chiming since 1859, but on New Year's Eve, 1923, they were heard on BBC Radio for the very first time, bringing their sound beyond Westminster to the whole of the UK. To tell the story of Big Ben, Adam Long, co-founder of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and his two friends, Simon Germond and Giles Torreira, celebrate the great clock of the Palace of Westminster and takes a whirlwind musical tour of all things Ben. It is a story of arduous neo-Gothic design, bells that kept cracking, and the invention of something called a double three-legged gravity escapement mechanism. BBC Radio 4X, Saturday, 24 February, 12:15 to 12:30. Cirrus Matthews. Ahead of Nikki Wire of Manic Street Preachers, sitting in for Iggy Pop, 4 to 6 p.m. He drops in to pay a visit to Cirrus Matthews until Sunday, March 3rd. The first of these shows, broadcast on Sunday, February 18th, is available on BBC Sounds. BBC Radio 6, Sunday, February 25th, 1000 to 1300. If the name Cirrus Matthews rings a bell, she often hosts the annual Midwinter Antarctic BBC broadcast in June. Jaws by Peter Benchley. It's 50 years since the publication of Peter Benchley's classic novel, which went on to become one of the greatest movies of all time. The novel shot straight on to the bestseller lists and has since sold some 20 million copies. It was adapted into the iconic film by Steven Spielberg a year later. The film won 3 Academy Awards, abridged in 10 parts by Richard Hamilton. BBC Radio 4X, Monday, February 26th, 21:30 to 21:45. The Last Goon Show of All. A new version of this final episode featuring sketches from the rehearsal recording. Added extracts include a limerick from Peter Sellers and a segment of Minnie and Henry. Tweaks have been made by editors Ted Kendall and Dirk Maggs, who wanted to include and share these extracts, even though they were not part of the final original edited program. Recorded on April 30th, 1972, the Goon's farewell performance with a distinguished audience is broadcast with the pre-show warm-up at the Camden Theatre, London. It was simultaneously recorded for broadcast on BBC TV. Written by Spike Milligan and featuring Peter Sellers as Grip Pipe Thine, Bluebottle, Major Dennis Bloodnock, Henry Kroon. Harry Sacombe as Nettie Seagoon in Floral Cretonne. Spike Milligan as Eccles, Minnie Bannister, Moriarty, with the Ray Ellington Quartet. Max Geldray and the Wally Stott Orchestra, conducted by Peter Knight. Tuesday, February 27th, Radio 4X, 1300 to 1330. Hollywood Exiles. Dalton Trumbo's career as a screenwriter blossomed just as FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover makes Hollywood a focus of his anti-communism obsession. Charlie Chaplin makes influential friends on the political left. Trumbo becomes active in the Screenwriters Guild, a harbor for radical politics. With his first talking film, Chaplin draws critical praise and unwanted attention with a rousing speech in The Great Dictator. Shifting alliances between Soviets and Nazis force an awkward political reckoning in the U.S. Host Una Chaplin explores the FBI's covert operations which targeted alleged communists. We learn how Hollywood became the battleground for the soul of America. A co-production by BBC World Service and CBC Podcasts. Wednesday, February 28th, BBC World Service, 1130 to 1200. And now Radio 101 by Ken Reitz, KS4ZR. KS4ZR numeral 1 at gmail.com. The QT40 gets some muscle. Last month I reviewed the Radiodity QT40. A CB look-alike, 10-meter, SSB, AM-FM amateur transceiver, which is available for $170 direct from Radiodity. The rig has an adjustable output from 1 to 12 watts AM, 1 to 40 watts FM, and 1 to 35 watts SSB. My hope was to let technician class operators who have voice privileges on 10 meters pursue DXCC with a minimum of off-the-shelf equipment and expense, the QT40 and a simple wire dipole. Initial tests with this rig were impressive. Working with just the 35 watts on SSB and my wire loop antenna, I worked a lot of U.S. and Canadian stations and some DX to my south in early January, including French Guiana, Venezuela, Brazil, Argentina, and the Falkland Islands, proving that it's not necessary to have a lot of power on 10 meters when the band is open. The Italian job. Operating SSB barefoot with the QT40 at 35 watts is very much like it was in the old days of high sunspot counts. The best way to add some muscle to any signal on HF is not with an amplifier. They only work one way. Instead, you need a way to amplify your transmitted signal while at the same time increasing your ability to hear signals. You can do that with the help of a Yagi beam antenna. I was looking for an inexpensive three-element beam, and a Google search turned up the Sirio Antenna Company from Italy. The radio enthusiasts in Italy have given the world a number of great products over the years, including some of the best high-end software-defined radios. So I was not surprised to learn that the antenna I was looking for was actually made in Italy. Sirio Antenna was founded in 1972 in Volta Mantovana, according to the company's website, where the products are designed, engineered, and manufactured. The main focus of the company is antennas and accessories for VHF, UHF, Tetra, cellular systems, WLAN, Wi-Fi, up to 6 GHz. They do offer several CB amateur antennas for 11 and 10 meters, mostly verticals. They have two 11 and 10 meter beams, one 3 elements and the other 4 elements. Their Sirio SY27-3, a 3 element Yagi beam for the CB and 10 meter frequencies, is available directly from buyantenna.com. Look for their 11 and 10 meter antennas or through their eBay store. For $159 plus $14 shipping, a total of $173 for U.S. addresses. The Sirio SY-27-3, combined with the Radiodity QT-40, would get a technician-class ham on the air on 10 meters for a total of $343. Add $35 to $50 for RG8 coax if you don't already have 50-ohm coax at hand. But how well would the two work together compared to just the QT40 and a wire? The Sirio antenna arrived at my QTH in Virginia from Italy via Fremont, California. So it had already seen a good bit of travel. Nonetheless, it arrived in excellent condition in a box only a little over 4 feet long and less than a foot high. The parts were carefully wrapped, and the box had no damage when it arrived. All the parts were accounted for and in perfect condition. There are several videos on YouTube that show how to assemble the antenna, and I recommend that you watch one or two for tips. It will go a long way toward a well-functioning antenna later. I laid mine out on the garage floor, and even with the car out of the garage, it was a tight fit. The boom length is over 8 feet with the longest reflector element at 18.75 feet, and the overall weight is a little over 10.3 pounds. The minimal instructions explain how to cut the elements for 10 meters. The manufacturer claims 8.5 to 10.6 dB gain with a front-to-back ratio difference of 20 dB, and my experience comparing it with the wire antenna easily confirms the gain. Impedance is 50 ohms with a built-in UHF female connector and matched via an adjustable gamma match. My experience with the SY-27-3 compared to my wire loop is generally an increase of 2 to 3 S units, a significant improvement and often the difference between breaking through a pileup. Reports from around the world seem to confirm this increase, and that's the advantage of the Yagi. Once I had the antenna assembled, I needed to test it out, so I set up a couple of sawhorses in the backyard and ran a wire from the antenna connector to the QT40, which was set up on a table on the back deck, powered by an Astron 15-amp power supply. There was a terrific wind happening that day back in early January, and as I was about to test the antenna, a gust of 40 miles per hour blew the sawhorses over and left the antenna flat on the ground. Undaunted, I tuned around the 10-meter band and heard a UK station calling. That's a pretty sensitive receiver. At that point, I decided that the construction of the antenna was finished, and now I needed to get the thing up in the air. Using my block-and-tackle antenna launch system, it was easy to get the antenna 30 feet into the air because it weighs only 10 pounds. The launch system uses 6 5-foot lengths of Rhone tower masts. With the antenna firmly attached to the top of the mast and the RG6X coax plugged into the SO259 built-in socket, and the block and tackle rope secured about 3/4 of the way from the top of the mast, it was time to hoist the mast into place. The wind was still fierce, but I knew that the reason for the high wind, 40-plus mile-per-hour gusts, was a strong low-pressure system moving into the area that would bring bitter cold as well as the potential for snow. If I didn't get this antenna project finished that afternoon, it could be a while before the weather would allow another attempt. There were a few dicey moments as the antenna started to swing wildly in the gusts halfway into position. I had to time the pulling of the block and tackle so that it could steadily be hoisted into place between gusts. With the mast secured to standoffs on the gable end of the two-story addition of the house, I made sure that the mast could just barely turn in the standoffs. The bottom standoff I secured with a vice grip, locked on one of the standoff nuts. By rotating the vice grip counterclockwise, the the entire mast could be rotated by hand, called the Armstrong method. Once the beam is pointed in the direction you want, rotate the vice grip clockwise to secure the mast in the standoff and prevent it from rotating in the wind. Now it was time to work some serious DX, but would propagation allow it? Here's a sample of the 10-meter log with the QT40 and the Serio 3-element monobander in no particular order. 35 watts in the Serio 3-element 10-meter beam. Call. DO1KRT, Germany. Signal received and sent. 5757, distance 4,000 miles. HA8LNN, Hungary, 5858, 4,700 miles. SN1WWA, Poland, 5959, 4,200 miles. II7WWA, Italy, 5757, 4,500 miles. F5BZB, France, 5757, 4,000 miles. LY5W, Lithuania, 5959, 4,500 miles. ON4LAN, Belgium, 5755, 4,000 miles. YT3PL, Serbia, 5857, 4,800 miles. SM6CVX, Sweden, 5756, 4,100 miles. YO7SR, Romania, 5757, 4,900 miles. OH6RM, Finland, 5856, 4,300 miles. E77DX, Bosnia-Herzegovina, 5959, 4,600 miles. OK1IWJ, Czech Republic, 5756, 4,300 miles. UA3ZDC, Russia, 5959 plus 5, 5,000 miles. SV2HZQ, Greece, 5959, 5,000 miles. EU1A, Belarus, 5959, 4,700 miles. OE3WMA, Austria, 5959, 4,500 miles. AO1 Radio, Spain, 5959, 3,800. S51DX, Slovenia, 5858, 4,500 miles. 9A9RR, Croatia, 5959, 4,700 miles. CN8NOA, Morocco, 5959, 3,800 miles. EA8CVZ, Canary Islands, 5955, 3,500 miles. CT9UR9IDX, Madeira Island, 5959, 3,400 miles. SO1WS, Western Sahara, 5959, 3,900 miles. G0DJQ, England, 5957, 3,600 miles. MM1YAM, Scotland, 5654, 3,500 miles. GW0RYT, Wales, 5757, 3,600 miles. GI0EJU, Northern Ireland, 5958, 3,400 miles. EI2HPB, Ireland, 5855, 3,300 miles. We'll continue this article next time. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio. My name is Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.